Let's talk about embodiment. Embodiment, the process, experience of being in the body, in our bodies. And really, it's one of the main reasons to be here. It's one of the main reasons we've come here at this time and chosen to be in human bodies. We're learning how to be in a body again and how to be spirit in physical form, because our body allows us to experience source in a unique way. When we don't have the physical human body, we have other experiences of ourselves, but the human body is dense. It's tangible. It can be in the 3D realm. And when we're in our physical bodies, or incarnating into physical bodies, I should say, allows us to transmute dense energy, to transmute karma, to transmute trauma, to heal in very real, felt ways. So in my cacao ceremonies, one of the prayers that I almost always do is around alchemizing spirit and matter in our hearts and bringing source energy from above and also from within, and connecting that with the physical body, the physical matter, the form that we are made up of. And our heart is this beautiful alchemical point where these two seemingly polar opposites meet. Matter is dense and heavy, and you can touch it, it's tangible. Spirit is etheric and unseen, hard to define, yet felt. And the human vessel, with all of our capacities for feeling, allows us to experience and alchemize both of those things, all of those things. So then the question is, why do we have to practice embodiment or try work for embodiment? Because we're here, we're in bodies, if you're listening to this podcast. But here's the thing, we've been conditioned to leave our bodies, to not be in our bodies. We've grown accustomed to staying in our mental spaces, or staying even outside of our mental space into our energetic space. And this is what you may have heard people refer to as leaving. It's when you have a challenging conversation with a loved one, like a partner, and all of a sudden, they're just not there. And you may have never been able to put words on it, but you can feel it. You feel it's like a shutting down or a disassociation or just plain disconnection. Like there's no accessing them. And we all do this. We all have done this many times. That's the process of leaving our physical body. It's taking our spirit, taking our essence as much as we possibly can out of the physical form. It's removing ourselves from the cells in our body and the experiences that we're feeling, so that we can escape and distract and avoid and not have to feel pain. Because in our spirit form, in when we are not incarnated in body, we don't feel pain the same way. So this is a very unique experience to being human. And this is why I will repeatedly say that those of us who have chosen to come here at this time are warriors, because we're choosing to have the capacity to feel deeply and to feel pain deeply. And this is one of the beautiful gifts of being human. So we've grown up with a fear of really being here, of being in our body. We've been conditioned in our current society. We've been conditioned to focus on what our appearance looks like to the outside more than what we actually feel inside. We've been conditioned to act a certain way according to what is societally acceptable rather than follow our own truth and know our own truth and listen to our own hearts. And we've also brought in a lot of fear, carried this with us from our ancestral lineage and past lives when it really has not been safe, or we've really believed that it hasn't been safe to be here. There's so much violence in the world, and there have been many, many, many groups of people that have been oppressed and tortured and killed for being themselves, for following their hearts, for healing themselves or being healers, for doing things in a quote-unquote non-traditional way, when actually it is the most traditional way. So I'm referencing witches or seers or oracles or healers or wisdom keepers, shamans, all those connected to the earth ways of healing and the elemental energies that we're all made up of. We've likely all been on both sides of the oppressor and the oppressed, or the victim and the perpetrator. And that's one reason it's so hard to be here, because we somewhere within us, we carry both. We've been both. And even going back further to the time of the fall, which I will address in more detail in another podcast, really this time where we were living as fifth dimensional beings, referencing Lemuria and Atlantis, and then we fell. We fell in density down to this 3D world that we are bridging right now, and that fall was involved a lot of beings and a lot of seeming mistakes and illusions and confusion and doubt and forgetting. So even beyond the more recent lives and incarnations where we've been unsafe to be ourselves, there's an even deeper wound of separation that we are all healing by being here right now. And there's these really deep traumas around being in the full capacity, fully empowered, fully embodied in all of ourselves, to feel all of that, the history that we come from, and what we've come here to do, what we've chosen to do in this life. It's scary. So, as a result of this, we've lost connection. As a result of this fear and this trauma buildup, we've started to value the mind and the mental space over our physical form. We've lost connection with Mother Earth, and Earth is our physical body. Earth is when we touch our legs, which I was just doing, and feel that physical form that's made up of earth. Water is our blood, air is our breath, and fire is our digestion and the divine spark of aliveness and consciousness within us. We are made up of the elements. We are the elements, and the elements are us, and indigenous cultures have understood this. There's an activist named Tada Hazumi, and they talk about the somatic pattern of modern Western colonial or colonized culture, I should say, compared to indigenous ways of being. And they've noticed and researched the way of the difference in the ways that we carry our energy in our physical forms. So in the West, Western culture, we keep the energy up. We wear tight belts and we cinch off our waist and disconnect ourselves from the earth below us. When we go to the bathroom, we've created toilets that sit up off of the ground. And compare this to many cultures around the world that have deep ritual connection with the earth. They don't wear tight waist cinching clothes. They squat when they go to the bathroom. Also for those with wombs and uteruses, we plug up our menstruation. Like, we've been taught to use tampons. And that's literally putting a plug inside of us instead of flowing freely into the earth as women in the past have done. So we've been raised, we've learned to disconnect from the downward flow of energy. We've forgotten how to connect to the earth, how to send energy down into the earth. When I was in an ayahuasca ceremony, which is a psychoactive plant medicine worked with in Amazon, or grows in the Amazon, and that's where the tradition lives, in the Amazonian jungle, Peru, Brazil. I had this experience where I was wearing these really tight Lululemon leggings. And ayahuasca is a medicine that often makes you purge. So there's a time where you feel really nauseous, and usually it's a deep emotional or energetic cleansing process, and then you vomit. And that's a big release. It's like getting that energy out of your body. So I was wearing these leggings, and I kept, every time I would feel the nausea come on, I would pull my leggings down. I was wearing a dress over it, and it's pitch black, so no one can see you. And so I would pull the leggings like down halfway, because I needed space in my stomach. I could feel this big purge coming on, and I would just take my leggings down. And I did that, and then I would put them back up. And I did that about 4 times until I finally had this huge insight and was like, why the fuck am I wearing these leggings that are so uncomfortable around my waist that I have to take them down in this ceremony? And that opened up this massive, massive realization of how I had been cutting off my own energy flow. I'd been disconnecting myself from my own lower energy centers, my womb space, my root chakra, my legs, and my feet. And that really, from that moment on, I gave all of my tight Lululemon pants to a friend, and I've been really consciously allowing flow in all energy centers of my body and my whole body. And that opened up this whole new world of embodiment for me, because when we're not fully connecting down to the earth, when we're not fully connecting to the lower part of our bodies, we're not able to bring our visions into tangible form. And that's the hardest part, because it can be really hard to connect with these lower energy centers. It can feel scary because that's where a lot of density is held. And we have to do that to fully be human, to fully do what we came here to do. So when we don't have this connection to the earth, or even to ourselves, to our lower energy centers, we've literally lost connection with our gut knowing, our deep knowing, our sense of who we are. And we are relying on these upper energy centers, so our heart or even above, this mental place or intuitive place that's more connected to spirit, yes, but things get lost in translation, things get confused when we are trying to define our human identity in 3D reality from these energy centers that are not rooted in 3D reality. They're there to help us bridge into the other realms and express through different means. We've also lost connection with the natural cycles and rhythms of the earth. If you think of a seed and how slowly it grows and evolves and eventually blossoms, that's a beautiful process to witness. The moon waxes and wanes on its scheduled time. The earth turns at a specific pace and rhythm. And our bodies are the earth. So we've been very disconnected from natural timing, the natural unfolding of things. We've become accustomed and addicted to quickness, to technology, to instant gratification, to more, better, faster. And this continuously brings us out of balance with our physical bodies. We honor our commitments and our schedule more than we honor ourselves a lot of the time. And this has caused a flurry of anxiety and ADD and other mental quote-unquote disorders that keep us stuck in the mental realm. In my perspective, these are less about being a disorder that is, you know, just how someone is born. It's more that energy is being stuck in the mental space because we are not taught. We don't remember. We've forgotten how to move it down our bodies and to cycle it and down into the earth and to have this free-flowing energy. And so what we've done in this culture that has kept our energy up, we get stuck in the mental mind space, and it causes a lot of anxiety. And so the more we connect with the earth and our lower bodies and open up the energy flow, the more we're able to move energy down, the more we can embody our divinity on earth as human beings. If you think of spirit or source as a channel, even like a light channel coming from up above somewhere in the sky, down through the crown of your head, down through your third eye, your throat, your heart, your solar plexus, your second chakra, your sexual organs, and your roots, all the way down your legs and out the soles of your feet into the earth below you, all the way down to the core of the earth. That will open you to receive the nourishment of the earth. And that channel opens you to be a true vessel for divinity, a true vessel for source. When you're fully connected all the way down onto this physical planet that we're on, you can also think of it as involution of spirit into matter. And we're learning right now how to do this. We're learning and remembering how to clear our energetic and physical spaces, especially in these lower chakras, these lower energy centers. This is a huge thing that we were doing in the 2018 summer eclipse wormhole. Like, so much was coming up in those lower chakras. The key, though, is that we need to be willing to do it, and we need to make a choice to invite it in. We need to make a choice to clear as much as we possibly can, and we want we need to speak, to be committed to fully embodying our presence, or embodying our full presence in this human vessel. So a bit more on trauma. So I mentioned this a bit earlier, but it's a big topic. So we carry the DNA from the very first humans and before that, so before we were even this human species, we have this DNA in our cells today. So when we consciously open up and decide that we want to do this healing work, we're asking, we're inviting more light into our bodies. And when more light comes in, it illuminates, it shines on the shadow, on the trauma, on the darkness. Things will come to light that you had no idea were there. It can be really challenging. It can be surprising. It can be shocking. It can be painful. I know many people that are warriors on this path that have been deep diving into ancestral trauma and ancestral healing. They have been literally tuning in from their bodies into what has been passed down through their lineages and what has been unhealed. It's understandable that someone would not want to experience that, that if given a choice, you would choose the path of ignorance is bliss. Yet that's the cycle that we've been perpetuating for millennia. And by doing that, we've just continued the cycle. We've continued to pass down the trauma to our children. And it has gotten worse and worse and worse and more painful. And those of us listening to this podcast, we now have the skills and the capacity to move through and release this trauma without taking it on. We don't need it anymore, and we know this. And we're here right now in order to truly release it. It can be painful to go through the process, yet there's so much freedom on the other side. Once you're through, you're through. It's actually being cleared from your cells, your being, your future lineages, your children's existence. There's a small amount of pain in comparison to the amount of light that you will embody as you go further into this work. And we have prepared for lifetimes to do this right now. We're so capable, even in the moments where we feel like it's impossible. Those edges that we reach of our humanity are the moments of true courage and strength, the moments of truly remembering who we really are. And yet we still need to make the choice to do this work. So much of the traditional path of the seeker, from my own experience, is that we wake up and start looking for spirituality. We look for spirit and source outside of us. We experience the divine from going up and out of our bodies. We start to connect to something greater, and it's very exciting and blissful and joyful and a bit scary and disorienting and confusing as well. We start to experience our intuition, synchronicity, start communing with deities, angelic guides, spirit guides, animals, our higher selves. We're really opening into these other realms, and often they're through the upper chakras, the upper energy centers. And we start to understand that there's so much more going on in parallel and beyond what we see in our narrow perspective of the world before we've woken up. So the spiritual path is super important. It's important to connect to others, other seekers, others on this journey. It's important to understand and have the felt experience of being part of something greater. And it needs to be balanced with really deep work in this tangible reality, because in this moment of time, we're literally bridging from these other dimensions into 3D, the third dimension density on planet Earth. So we're not there yet. We are the ones that have come to do this bridging work. We are anchored in 3D reality and also bringing in and raising our own frequency so that we can bridge into 4D and 5D and beyond. Which is why it's really important that we balance out our spiritual work with being spiritual in the human body. When we don't have this grounding energy, when we're only focusing up and out and not balancing it with being grounded, with connecting to the earth, with having solid, stable living situations and careers and finances or jobs or clothes, you know, these very real needs, food, that on the spiritual path, quote unquote, we can be convinced that we don't need those things. We can get caught up in this idea of being so spiritual that we're not human anymore. When that happens, when we're not doing the grounding work, we're dangling in the ethers of spirituality rather than truly being spirit in form. We know we're spirit. We're all, every single thing on this planet is spirit. Every single person is spirit. We don't need to do anything to be more spiritual. Our work is to embody our spirit fully, the fullness, the full power of our spirit into our human bodies, into our human forms. This is so important. We need to bring our spirit into form. So grounding our energy, what does that look like? So connecting with the earth, working with plants, learning how to move our energy within our bodies and down through our feet, communicating with the land that we live on, knowing our personal connection to the land that we come from, our families and ancestral histories, having real honest conversations with others. So instead of checking out and avoiding, it's showing up, being awkward, being uncomfortable, speaking your truth anyway. It's showing up on time, being prepared, cooking yourself good food, gardening, singing, dancing, moving your body, connecting with your body. There's so much wisdom in our bodies, and we're so imbalanced in depending on the mental brain. There's a heart brain, there's a gut brain, every cell is a brain. Being grounded is really about being in right relationship in all aspects of your human life. So So how do we embody our higher selves? How do we bring this archetype of, you know, what our higher self looks like? This is our most glorious, if we could dream the best self that we could ever be. The work is to embody that right now, to bring that into your human form right now, to anchor in that highest self into this physical reality. And really, it's about being a conduit, a vessel for light to flow through our bodies down into earth. And to do that, we need to refine, to clear, to open all of the energy centers all the way down through the body. And we're often attracted to the upper energy work, the upper energy centers, the upper chakras, because it's lighter up there. That's where the spiritual path often starts. We start to have our pineal gland open. We have these intuitive visionary experiences, or we receive guidance from some other being, or we open our hearts and we feel this deep connection to ourselves and the world around us. And that's the start of our spiritual path. And it's lighter up there. The upper energy centers are lighter. They're less dense. The lower three chakras, so below, from the heart down, the third chakra, second and first, carry a lot of tough, dense energy. And it's also where the most, the power is. It's the fuerte, the strength. And so from the shadow perspective of each of these energy centers, the third chakra is self-assurance, willpower, confidence, feeling secure in your identity, your personal identity. Who am I? The second chakra is sexual identity. It holds all the trauma we've experienced over lifetimes. And it's our raw creative force. It's the sexual power, not even about sex, but like the creative force of life, that we can create life from this place. And when we really tap into our true desires, the raw creative primal force that's not confined or restricted by any societal norm, it can be really scary to feel what we truly want. The first chakra is about basic needs: money, security, stability, food, sex, sleep. And also includes the shadows of oppression, racism, violence, uprooting cultures from the land that they live on, and so much more. My friend Kelly Berend is teaching about energetic justice, which maps tangible issues and action steps to the energy centers within our bodies, the chakras, which I've been referencing. I highly recommend her work to go deeper into this. The overview that I'm providing here is barely scratching the surface, and she is putting together a really profound body of work to help us understand how collective issues are rooted in our own personal energy centers and how our personal healing is for collective liberation. So you can see the links to her and also to Tada's work in my show notes. So on a collective level, we are so imbalanced right now that many don't have their basic needs met. That first chakra of basic security, stability. So many people on our planet are barely surviving. We haven't been ready yet as a collective to do this lower chakra clearing. It's just really becoming conscious for many of us. And my intention with this podcast is to lovingly encourage, invite, and remind us all that this is the work. If we want to be truly embodied, truly sovereign beings, we need to return to our core. We need to return to the earth. We need to open to our true desires. We need to be a part of our communities, engaging with those around us that are different from us, that seem different from us. This is what it really means and looks like to be human, to ground these higher energies into the lower, quote unquote, lower realms. This is all a part of ourselves. There's no better or worse. Higher is not better than lower. We've just created that conceptually because lower has been harder and scarier. Lower is also where the power is. This is how we come into true symbiotic relationship with the earth. This is how we shift out of this linear taking mentality of taking resources from the earth and create a cyclical symbiotic relationship, a relationship where we are giving as much as we're receiving and we're helping the earth as we help ourselves. The earth is a living being. If we believe in astrology and the constellations and the planets and the moon and how they impact our emotions and realities, the earth is no different. It's a living entity that provides so much for us. And the more that we are able to clear our physical vessels and bring light through our own bodies, the more we can bring light down into the earth and give the earth light to help her heal. The more light she receives, the more she's able to clear her dense energy and thus support our collective ascension process, because we're all ascending together. As we send light down to the earth responds, sending nourishing, supportive, healing, mothering energy back up to us. You can practice this by standing outside with the intention to send light down into the earth. Visualize light coming down from the sun, or even the galactic sun beyond this galaxy. And imagine this little energy spark, this energy center called the Soul Star Chakra. It's 18 inches above your head. So you bring light down from the sun to your Soul Star Chakra, and then bring it down through your Soul Star Chakra into the crown of your head, the center of your head, activating your pineal and pituitary glands, down through your throat, your heart, your solar plexus, in your abdomen, your second chakra, your sexual center, your root all the way down through your feet, down through the soles of your feet, down, down, down into the soil, the earth below you, down, 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 all the way to the center of the earth, the core. The more you do this, even for a minute every day, you will start to feel the earth sending love light back to you. You will start to release tension and dense energy that's ready to be shed from your own body. And you will start to balance your energy systems along with the earth's energy systems. This also shows the earth that you're aware of her as a spirit. I refer to her as a her. That's my way of connecting. You can refer to the earth in whatever way feels right for you. Showing the earth that you're aware that she, the earth, it is a living being. This has been forgotten. This is why the plants are here. Every day, in every moment, the plants remind us of our interconnection with the web of life. The plants provide medicine in the form of things we can ingest, and also visual prana, visual life force. We receive so much from these lush, bright colors, these radiant, wise beings. They also provide access points to higher consciousness, as well as different levels of consciousness. Plants are our guides here. There's so many different plants and trees covering this earth. And they're here to support us. I understand it as the plants are stars that have come down to earth. It's their way of incarnating on earth and embodied in plants, the form of trees and shrubs and flowers. There's so much untapped support and wisdom and knowledge for us, and many of us are awakening and remembering our innate connection to the plant realm. We're opening to intuitive connection and communion with plants. Plants are coming into our lives with messages and guidance and healing. If you haven't yet felt a connection to plants, but you want to, I encourage you to buy a plant, to plant a plant, to work with oils, herbal tinctures, go to your local apothecary, find an herbalist, an herbal witch that does good work and support them. Take a bath with plants, cover yourself in oils and the aromas of plants. Talk to them as you walk, whether out loud or just in your inner space. Tell them hello. They hear you. You can work with cacao, which I'll do another episode on soon, as well as many, many other master plant teachers that help us find these different states of consciousness and clear out dense energy. Plants show us, more than anything in my experience, how to anchor light and energy from beyond down through our bodies into the earth. A seed planted in the earth works in complete, easeful, symbiotic relationship with the elements. It grows and emerges and blossoms, and then all these bees and birds and butterflies come and pollinate to carry the beauty on, to spread the love of this plant. Nature has so much to teach us about being, embodying, existing as divinity in form. When you look at a freshly bloomed rose, you can't not see the divinity in that. If you really pause and find your inner stillness and receive the medicine of rose or any flower, a plant that emerged out of a seed and is emanating this glorious aroma, bathing you as it unfolds its petals. It's a sensual experience, utilizing the senses that we have as humans. All trees and plants have so much power in them to be able to embody in the way that they do. Many trees have witnessed more of life than we have, as they've got many more rings, many more years on the planet than we do. They've seen the seasons change and weathered many more storms. I learned recently that ferns are prehistoric. They've survived all of these major shifts, disruptive shifts on the planet. Think about how much wisdom they carry. Think about everything they've lived through. Plants and trees are connected via the mycelium network, which is a big part of the fungi mushroom realm. 90% of the world is connected via this mycelium network. So their root systems plug in. I think of one pine tree in California being part of this greater whole, connected to pine trees in Minnesota and Vermont and beyond, through these mycelium networks, through these root systems. Research has shown that plants and trees communicate, sending nutrients and messages about viruses and weather and insect attacks to warn each other. And all of the billions of plant life are plugged into the same web through this mycelium network. If you can zoom out and imagine all of the plants, every blade of grass, every redwood tree, every weed, plugged into the same consciousness, And just try and imagine the scale of that consciousness of all the different species of plants in the world plugged in to the same network. Perhaps now we can understand why many believe that plants have access to a higher consciousness. They exist in a higher level of consciousness. We can see why many have dedicated their lives to listening to the plants, and many are remembering how to commune with the plants, how to go to them for guidance, how to heal ourselves, and how to be in relationship, in right relationship, in symbiotic relationship with the plant realm, to really honor them for the wisdom that they share with us. Plants are true teachers, they're true guides, true wisdom keepers. They have a lot to teach us about embodiment if we're willing to listen. So I invite you to open yourself a little bit more to the path of plants as a way of opening yourself to a deeper level of embodiment of your full presence. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Medicine of Being Human podcast. My name is Sina Maria, and this podcast is coming straight from my heart, which means I'm putting a lot of systems in place as I go. You can find this episode along with transcription and show notes at soundcloud.com/medicineofbeinghuman. And be sure to click the follow button to be notified when I post more episodes. Special thanks to Deshaun Lovelace for his transcription support, and to all of you tuning in and giving me great feedback. Lots of love, family. Thank you for being here.